It's hard to get used to starting so early. I invite you to open your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 8 tonight, where for just a few moments I want to talk about the parable of the sower and the seed. I've preached on the parable of the sower and the seed before. It was 10 years ago, so once a decade's probably okay. Jesus teaches. He preaches. Goes about from city to city, town to town, village to village, along the highways, into the synagogues and into the homes of people across the land of Palestine. And he teaches. And you cannot imagine that there was ever a better teacher, that there was ever anyone who could more clearly and more effectively teach the will of God than Jesus Christ. And yet many people did not respond to his message. There were many people who turned away. And it makes you wonder, why? Why could he not get through to them? Why could he not get a response from so many people? And his own parable here, the parable of the sower, goes a long way toward answering that question. Let's look at the passage and think about it for just a few moments this evening and think about how it might apply to ourselves, because that's really what we need to do. How do I respond to Jesus? What do I make of his teaching? Luke chapter 8 and verse 4, "And when a great multitude were coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow. The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up." You know, it strikes me from just reading that. We all know the application of the parable is that the seed is the Word of God, that the main point of the parable is that the Word of God has different effects and responses. It depends upon the nature of the soil in which it falls, the quality of the heart of the person who hears the Word of God. It's the same seed. It's effective. It's powerful. It can save. But it doesn't save everyone. Some people it saves, some people it doesn't save. And it depends upon the heart of the hearer. We'll talk more about that as we go along, of course. But this first phrase, "the sower went out to sow," it's a phrase that sticks in my head. Because it reminds me of my obligation, our obligation. That until the seed is sown, until the word is preached, it can't even begin to do anybody any good. There has to be a sower. There has to be a sower who goes out to sow. And I use this photograph. It's a beautiful, that's not a photograph, it's a painting. And I like it. Of course, it's by Van Gogh. It's a famous painting by his. It makes me think of the solitary life of this individual. You know, it looks like the sun's on the horizon. Is it early in the morning or is it late in the day? It could be either one, I suppose. But he's out there working. He's out there by himself. He's getting it done. He's sowing the seed. We need to be sowers, all of us, every one of us. We need to sow the seed of God's Word. And if we don't, then how are these people going to hear? How are they going to even have an opportunity to respond to the gospel? Seed of the Word of God is great and powerful and effective, but it is only effective if somebody has an opportunity to respond to it. And God has so ordered things that there is a part of this process that depends upon us. As followers of the will of God, as Christians, as disciples of Jesus Christ, each and every one of us needs to be a sower. And that means we need to have seed. And to have seed, it means that we need to prepare, that we need to fill our bag, that we need to study the Word of God, that we need to know a little bit, at least a little bit, of the gospel, so that we can share it with someone, so that we can throw it out there. It's not on us how people respond. This parable makes that perfectly clear. Jesus was the greatest sower of all, and as I mentioned at the beginning, not everybody responded to His message. It's not on the sower. The seed will do its work. It's on the heart of the hearer. But they have to hear. And we need to spread that seed. And to spread the seed, we have to have a bag full of seed. And so as we study God's Word, as we look through these passages and fill our bags, if you will, with the knowledge of the will of God, we need to think of it in terms of spreading that Word, sowing it. The sower went out to sow. It says, as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Well, the imagery is not difficult to imagine. It's even in this picture. I don't know if you noticed it. Here's a section of the field that's kind of trampled down, and there's actually even some birds out there who are looking for an opportunity to pick up some seed. Now, as you think about this, I want you to ask yourself the question, who's at fault? Why is that ground so hard? Why does it not grow? Why is the seed ineffective? Talk about that more in a moment. Another seed fell on the rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Some other places that are ineffective soil. The land of Palestine is notorious for having poor soil. And in most places it does. Now, there's some very green and lush and growing areas, but for the most part, the land of Palestine, the land in which Jesus walked up and down, it was very much like this. Very rocky soil. Very thin layer of soil on top of a lot of rock. And as a consequence, a lot of it could not be cultivated. And so they would take sheep and lead them about, and whatever little nourishment they could find here and there, they would gobble up, and then they'd move it along someplace else. But where the soil did have a little bit of depth, have a little bit of possibility, they would sow seed, they would grow crops. But inevitably, there would be parts of the field or areas around the edge of the field where the soil wasn't very deep and the rocky. The land of Palestine is also a place of thorns and thistles. A lot of wild and unwanted plants. The weeds tend to grow better in poor soil. They're hardy like that. Is there something wrong with the seed? Is it the fault of the sower? No, there's something wrong with that soil. There's a problem there. We'll talk about it more in a moment. Another seed fell into the good soil and grew up, produced a crop 100 times as great. And he said these things, as he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And I gather from that statement that it was something that he said again and again. You know, as he was saying these things, he kept saying the same phrase, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus is addressing this whole issue, this whole question of who is getting it and who's not? Who's listening and who's not? Why are not more people responding to His message? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, the good soil is rich and black and it's loose and it's moist and it just, you know, anybody who's done any kind of gardening or farming, you know that rich, good soil, that loamy soil, it's a beautiful thing. It'll grow plants. It'll be fertile. It'll respond to the seed. And it's so great to work with good soil if you're a farmer. Why is that soil good? Who broke it up? Who made it rich like that? And when it is rich and it responds to that seed and the seed germinates and it grows and the plant picks up that moisture and those nutrients in the soil, it grows fast and it grows strong and it produces lots and lots of good things. In verse 8, Jesus goes on to explain His parable. He says, now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. And the Word of God is like seed in so many different ways. A seed contains information. A seed has potential. It has the power and the ability to make something, to pull together that which is latent in the soil, the moisture and the nutrients, and take the warmth of the sun and to make all of those things into a wonderful plant. And without that seed, none of those things would produce anything. The soil by itself, the water by itself, the sun by itself would make nothing. But the seed has great possibilities, great potential. Of course, by itself, without the soil, without the water, and without the sun, it's just going to sit there, dormant. But a seed is an amazing thing. When it finds the right circumstances, the right environment, it has the ability, latent within it, the seed does, to detect the right amount of moisture and to detect the right amount of warmth. Seed will lay dormant for years. But when it finally gets in those right circumstances, it will germinate and begin to grow. The Word of God is like that. It's there. Its potential, its possibilities are there for anyone to benefit from it. But as long as it just sits there, as long as it doesn't find those right circumstances, as long as it doesn't find that right heart, it's just potential. It's not going to do anything. God wants our salvation. He wants to save us. He sent this Word through His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And He's given us the command to spread that Word abroad and to get it into the ears of as many people as we possibly can. But until it reaches those ears, and until those ears take it in, until it finds those right circumstances, it's not going to save anybody. Seed of the Word of God. And those beside the road are those who have heard. I suppose you might be tempted to think that the people who are like the pathway, the hearts of people who are like the trodden path, that they never had a chance. But that's not quite true. Jesus says that they've heard. And He keeps saying over and over again, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear. They heard. What's the problem? Have they not heard? Paul asked that question in Romans. Have they not heard? Yes, they have. They've heard. What's the problem? Is the problem in the seed? Is the problem in the sower? They've heard. Have they not heard? Has the seed not been sown? Yes, the seed's been sown. Have they not had access to the Word of God? Have they not been impacted? Has it not hit them? Yes, all of those things have happened. The seed has come in contact with a listener. What's the problem? They've heard. Well, you might say, well, you know, just like the birds came and ate the seed before the seed could germinate, before the seed could do anything, Jesus says the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart. Now, how exactly does the devil do that? Does the devil magically make you forget that you've heard the word? Does he keep you from somehow being able to hear that word? That ground that's compacted and hard, it's indifferent. It's difficult to penetrate. It's the nature of that heart. It just sits there. The seed just sits there. Doesn't make an impression. And consequently, it's so easy for the devil to distract, to lure away, to tempt away. But that's what the devil does. He wouldn't be able to if the soil was receptive. If the seed fell into some soil that was loose and receptive and it worked its way down into the ground so that the bird couldn't get it. But because the soil is hard, the heart is hard. It's indifferent, doesn't listen, doesn't care. We live in a world full of trodden path. Soil that is indifferent to the Word of God. Seems like it's growing that way more all the time. Brethren, we must make sure that we're not like that. Jesus says, so that they may not believe and be saved. In order to be saved, you have to believe. In order to believe, you have to respond to the Word of God. In order to respond to the Word of God, you have to listen to it and you have to care what it is. You have to care what God is saying to you. It has to matter to you. You have to be receptive to it. And if you're not receptive to it, if you don't care, if you're indifferent, if you're spiritually cut off from God to such a degree that you are calloused over and your heart is wholly indifferent to what God has to say to you, it's not going to happen. Brethren, we can be that way. We can become that way. We must not. We must keep our hearts as plowed fields, always willing, always ready to listen to what God has to say to us. And even when it hurts, even when it's not comfortable and it's inconvenient and it pains us and it pricks our conscience, even then we cannot turn away from it. We must open up even more to the Word of God. Never let the devil have a chance to pull that word away by taking that seed in and being receptive to it. We must be that way. Verse 13, and those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. It's remarkable, isn't it, that these people are described as being receptive to the word of God. They receive it. They do take it in. The soil is called rocky. That means some of the soil is good and some of it's not. Some of it's rock. You know, it's not good. There's a thin veneer, a thin layer of soil that is perfectly willing to accept that word and receive that word and to consider it and even to respond to it. Because Jesus is very specific here. It says they receive the word with joy. That's a good thing, isn't it? Isn't that how we should all be? We should receive the word of God with joy? Absolutely. But there's something about this person, this type of person, this nature of this particular soil. They believe for a while. Problem is not that they didn't believe. They did believe. It specifically says they believed. And you know, the world of men responding to the gospel is not just a two-category thing. It's not just an either-or. It's not people who believe and people who don't believe. There's a spectrum, a continuum. There are people who don't believe. They don't care. They don't listen. They don't believe. And then there's people who do believe. They receive the word. And they do believe it. And in fact, they are so affected by it that they are joyous about it. And yet, there is a deficiency. A deficiency of depth. And you could call it depth of character. You could call it depth of obedience or depth of seriousness. They're the kind of person who quickly latches on to something and then just as readily and easily lets it go. And then they move on to something else. They get excited about the newest or latest or something new in their life. They get excited about it and then they are quickly bored by it. And they want to move on to something else. We must not be that way. We must have a depth of character, of heart, that makes a commitment. So much so that even when things get difficult, in the time of temptation, that we don't fall away, because that's a possibility, you know. If we don't have a firm root in ourselves, if we don't take the Word of God, let's say, deeply into our heart, if we don't take it seriously and make a long-term commitment to it. People who easily and quickly make commitments very often easily and quickly break them. We have to be the kind of people with the kind of character that the Word of God and His message to us is so important that we take it in and we are committed to it. So much so that even when times get difficult and challenging and serving God and being a Christian is often that way. Things don't work out the way that we had planned or the way that we had hoped. And so many people become a Christian initially and they're like the person who's filled with joy. They just see all the potential and the possibilities stretching on endlessly and they're just excited about all that. And that's good because it's true. But then they hit a rough patch. And then it's the time when you determine your depth, the depth of your soil. You have to kind of buckle down and say, well, I knew that it was going to be hard at times, and I'm just going to get through this, and I'm going to remain committed to the Lord, I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm going to get through this. It's what you have to do. Not everybody does, and they fall away, you know, and that's a potential possibility. There are people who believe. They receive the word, they believe, they have joy, they follow the word for a while, and they fall away. And that is a real possibility. It happens to people. It shouldn't happen to us. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. You know, life is filled with distractions, filled with things that can overwhelm our faith, that can choke our faith out. They're ever present. That's because we've got to live in this world. We've got to deal with our problems and our jobs and our families and our chores and our commitments and all of the rest of it. And of course, these things fill us with worry and concern. And then there's things that we enjoy doing. There's fun things. And they can take up time and they can take up our energy. And all of these things are pulling in us in 1,000 different directions. And we have to have the depth of character, the commitment to the Lord to say, no, you know, what comes first in my life is my service to God. And I'm not going to let anything pull me away from that. Because if we do, then we're this category of person that lets the worries of the world and the pleasures of this world choke out our faith. Here again is a category of people who responded to the gospel. The seed germinated. They believed it. They took it in. The plant grew. And it grew well for a while. But then these weeds, weeds of life choked out the vitality of the plant, and the plant was stunted, and the plant didn't grow, and ultimately the plant didn't produce anything. And there are Christians like that. They haven't withered up and died. They're still there. They're still Christians, but they're stunted. They're not growing, and they're not producing. And that's a real danger for us. You know, because here we are. We weren't the hard soil. We didn't just let it go in one ear and out the other. And we're not the rocky soil because, again, we're still here. We didn't wither up and die in the heat of the sun. But we very well might be this plant here. And that's the danger that we all have to deal with, brethren. To be this stunted and unproductive plant for the Lord. It's no good. It's not what the Lord's looking for. These are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, you know, that's the thing. They heard, they received, they go on, they let the riches and pleasures of this life choke out their life, their spiritual life. We can't let that happen. And a sure sign of whether or not we have let that happen is whether or not we're bearing fruit to maturity. That's the sign of the good soil, as we're going to see next. The seed and the good soil, verse 15. These are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. And there's the payoff. There's the rub. The honest and good heart. They've received the word, and they took it in. And what they had that was different from the others was an honest and good heart. And some people have that. Some people are open to the will of God. They're humble and not arrogant. They're curious and want to know instead of being indifferent. They appreciate what God has done for them. They're drawn to their Creator. And they're honest enough that when they hear the Word of God and they see what it says, they say, yeah, that's what that says. Not everybody's that way. The ones who have heard the Word in an honest and good heart. Brother, we have to work hard at being that honest and good heart. To plow the heart, as it were, to break up the compacted soil of our hearts, because our hearts get hardened so easily by the difficulties of this life and by the callousness, the jadedness that we get from the world around us, the mocking of God and the rest of it, you know, it pounds on our heart and our hearts get hard, and we've got to just plow that heart up and keep it as fertile soil for the Word of God to continue to have its effect upon us. We have to have an honest and good heart. And hold it fast. You see, because that's part of the challenge as well. You know, people hear the Word of God, they have the Word of God, but then they let it slip away. We need to keep it close. Keep it ever on our mind. Meditate upon it. Listen to it. Think about it. And apply it. It's our responsibility to hold that Word fast. And bear fruit with perseverance. And it takes perseverance to bear fruit. You know, you got to stick with it and stick with it. Keep working at it. And then eventually you receive the benefit of that, which is bearing fruit for the Lord. And that's the honest and good heart that Jesus is looking for. James 1, 20 through 21 puts it very well. And I have to think that when James wrote this by the inspiration of the Spirit, that he was thinking about what Jesus had said in the parable of the sower and the seed. He says in James 1:20, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted. See, that's what you do. You work the soil. You put aside the hardness of your heart, and you put aside you pluck out the thorns and the weeds. You break up that soil and you throw the rocks away, and then with humility you receive the word and plant it, which is able to save your souls. Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. And that's the proof, you see, of the nature of the soil. If it's productive, if it makes something, then it's good soil. Are we being productive, brethren? That's when we finally know if we've really received the word and planted it. In conclusion, you know, we bear a responsibility for how we respond to the Word of God. It's absolutely our responsibility. We bear that responsibility. God loves us. God cares about us. He's reaching out to us and He's trying to save us. And He's come up with this wonderful message of salvation in His Son, Jesus Christ. And He's done everything to spread it out into the world and into our hearts, into our minds. And we must respond to it. Because we have the ability to respond to it. And that's what responsibility means. The ability to respond. We must take it in and hear it and absorb it and be changed by it. And that's a choice that we make. We must not let anything hinder it. And the proof of its saving effect is what we produce from it. That's what it gets right down to it. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now here's the question for you tonight. Do you have ears to hear? The seed is sown. The message of the gospel is sown in your heart. What kind of soil are you? How do you respond? What's it going to be? Are you just going to let it go in one ear and out the other? Or are you going to receive it? Take it in. Hold it fast. It's on your heart tonight. If you've never responded to the gospel, you have a chance to do so right now. What's your choice? If you want to respond to the Word of God by obeying the gospel, baptized, declaring your faith in Christ, repent in your heart, do it tonight while you have a chance as we stand and sing.